This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman and Dr. John Fleming, representing the Pelican State's 4th Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Natural Resources and Armed Services Committees, and he's also, as we mentioned, a doctor, and so we want to get his thoughts on a number of issues ranging from energy policy, as we've discussed many times in recent weeks, to the one-year anniversary of the president's health care plan. And Congressman, it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me on again.
Let's start with energy policy. I know you and many of your colleagues along the Gulf Coast have been very frustrated with the lack of progress in issuing new permits for both deep water and shallower drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and elsewhere by this administration. A de facto moratorium is what many of you call it. Just this week, though, we saw the president down in Brazil pushing for Brazil to greatly expand its offshore exploration, including oil drilling. What do you make of the two different policies there?
Well, Greg, the people of Louisiana are totally befuddled by what the president is doing. On the one hand, he essentially shut down for a year offshore drilling, particularly deep water drilling, off the shores of Louisiana, despite claiming that oil production is up. It's actually down from 1.7 million barrels a day to 1.59 million barrels a day. And at the same time, we're losing rigs to other countries who have less strict policies and regulations about drilling. And, of course, one of those is Brazil, which not only is he encouraging to use the very rigs that we're sending over there, but he's actually taking taxpayer money in order to finance that process.
And in terms of where you go from here, I know there's been as much pressure as you believe you can apply at this point. What else do you see happening here, whether it's rising gas prices or something else that perhaps gives you more leverage to push the president for more domestic production?
Well, absolutely. The gas prices now have gone, in some cases, past $4 a gallon. And that's a simple supply and demand equation. Prices are only going to go up when the supply is not meeting the demand, and the president's not helping us out on that by restricting offshore drilling, keeping us from drilling in Anwar, and certainly the domestic reduction in drilling that's going on, particularly on federal lands. So, you know, we conservatives want an all-of-the-above policy, use of natural gas, certainly more oil exploration and production, and even use of alternative forms of energy when they make sense. And so we call on the president to get right with that. We have pushed him far enough now that he has given four permits, and I think we're going to get a fifth one, but this fifth one will be the first one that was not actually drilling at the time of the Deep Horizon. So hopefully through a lot of pressure and through the courts, we're finally moving the president in the right direction. But he's going kicking and screaming, Greg.
So how much production is there right now, and how much do you think the Gulf can handle?
Well, there's trillions of barrels of oil in the Gulf. Much of it is yet to be even found, much less exploited. Every time the USGS does a survey, they come up with more. In fact, if you add the findings and the new technologies that have come out in the last 5 years, we have about 10 times more oil than what we thought we could get even 5 years ago. So as you can see, a shortage of hydrocarbons is not a problem, and certainly the technology to develop them and use them cleanly, there's no limitations on that either.
We're talking with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, and as we mentioned earlier, he's also a physician, and you've heard him discuss a number of times just in our conversations about his efforts to defund the president's health care plan. And Congressman, obviously, this was the one-year anniversary this week, first of the House passage and then of the president signing it into law. Republicans pretty active this week, it looked like, pointing out that, well, we did find out what was in it after we passed it, and Americans still don't like it very much. What are the biggest congressional Republican priorities in dealing with this? We've already seen the effort to fully repeal. That obviously got blocked in the Senate. Same thing with trying to defund it in many ways through the fiscal year supplemental bill. So what's next in the effort to tackle the health care plan?
Well, Greg, we're really on two tracks. As you point out, we did pass a repeal out of the House, which passed by a much wider margin than the actual law, original law, passed. And at the one-year anniversary, you don't see many people doing handsprings. So obviously, the American public is not behind this, with 63% now favoring repeal. So the two tracks are this. Number one, we're fighting in the courts, and we're going to go to the Supreme Court against the individual mandate, which is definitely unconstitutional. We've got as many as 30 states in the fight on that. And then the defunding, because there's $105 billion of forward spending or spring-loaded mandatory spending that's appropriated into this bill to make it continue to go despite the loss of control of the House of Representatives, which I think the Democrats foresaw in the future. So we're going to work to try to connect that $105 billion of spending and the defunding of that to the increase in the debt limit or some other must-pass legislation here very soon.
Let me get your response on one other issue. I know it's been brewing in your conference over the last couple of short-term continuing resolutions, and that's that some of the mandatory spending that hasn't necessarily been addressed as much as the non-defense discretionary spending includes mandatory funds for implementing the health care plan. Some of your colleagues say that that makes it a non-starter for them, and they've voted against, especially the second version. Where do you stand on that?
Well, what happened was that we passed out of the House a $61 billion reduction in non-defense discretionary spending for an omnibus continuing resolution for the remainder of the year, because there was never a budget even offered by the Democrats when they had control. However, that's gone no place in the Senate. There was a two-week CR, which I voted for because the Senate had not had time to really take it up. But then there was a three-week CR placed by Republicans, and I didn't agree with that because I felt, Greg, that we've had plenty of time to battle out this big CR, the $61 billion cut, and the Democrats were not coming to the table. The president wasn't coming to the table, so I voted against that compromise, and we may end up with another three-week CR to vote on, and I'm going to vote against that as well. I'm going to continue voting against any short-term continuing resolutions unless they include defunding of Obamacare, or we go right to the main CR, the big one that finishes out the rest of the year.
Last topic, as I mentioned at the beginning, you're also a member of the House Armed Services Committee, so pretty much every issue that's big in the news right now, you're definitely involved with evaluating and trying to decide the right policy on. So as we look at the past week almost now since the launch of Operation Odyssey Dawn in Libya, a lot of concern on both sides of the aisle about the procedure by which we got into this military action, and some remaining questions as outlined by Speaker Boehner in terms of cost and end game and objective and so forth. What do you want to hear from the president as soon as possible?
Well, first of all, Greg, I want to see leadership from our president. This whole issue went for 30 days without the president saying anything to Congress. I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and the president did not communicate with anyone on the committee that I'm aware of. Certainly, we did not come into session in any way, shape, or form over this. And then we find out that the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, was notified only 90 minutes before the strike, and the decision had been made 2 days before. But even all of that happened only after the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and Sarkozy got together and more or less forced the president's hand. I mean, Greg, that's anything but leadership. We need, you know, the President of the United States has a very special position in world leadership, and he should utilize that because we truly are the leaders of the free world. We have the resources to make things happen that are important. And then beyond that, we need to be careful about these very limited scopes of mission. If we're going to go in, for heaven's sakes, we need to go in the right way and get the job done. Otherwise, we're going to subject young American lives to potential fatalities. And, of course, mission creep, which is a very dangerous thing that can happen, which we've seen before. So I really think the president kind of backed us into this thing instead of forward-leaning and taking care of the mission the way it really ought to be done.
Congressman, three major issues that we've been able to cover here in the last few minutes. Thank you so much for your time and your insight, sir.
Great. Thank you so much, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Louisiana Republican Congressman and Dr. John Fleming represents Louisiana's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.